You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Just in case you have the same issue that I do, welcome to All Marine Radio on a Tuesday. So I hope you're having a good day wherever you are. Today's show is pretty amazing, and I say that given all the amazing people we've had on this program. I got a call from a friend of mine who I played baseball with and went to high school with. When, obviously I was a kid, sent me a text. His brother has a daughter. His brother is a veteran of the Air Force, has a daughter. I think it went, if I recall, went to the Naval Academy. And they're from my hometown, Sacramento, the Gandy family, and, Chris and Chris's older brother, Clarence. And, Clarence, I don't know how many years older than Chris was 2 years older than me. Clarence, older than that, so. As you sports would have it, I was, I think, a first-year baseball player playing Babe Ruth League in Sacramento, and Chris was, so I would have been 13, he'd have been 15, and Chris was one of the best players, he's one of the best athletes in Sacramento, and he was a big guy, he could run, he could hit, he could throw, he could do everything, and, so we went to the same high school as a football star, you know, basketball star, baseball star. I think he ultimately signed with the Dodgers. But anyway, he called me up and he said, "Hey, Mac, my brother Clarence told me you do a radio show, and I have some people I'd like you to talk to if you can." And I said, "Yeah, you know, what can I do?" And he said, "Well, their son committed suicide. He was suffering from post-traumatic stress and took his life on June 24th, 7 weeks ago. And he said, "I wondered, they're celebrating his life this coming Saturday. Is there any way you could have him on your program and maybe help him out exposing, you know, giving a broader exposure?" I said, "Of course, man." So so I got their contact information. I called and I spoke to the father. His name is Carlos Lopez Sr. He's a veteran of the Army. His family served in Vietnam. He's a Vietnam-era soldier, although I don't think he went to Vietnam. His father fought in World War II, and along with his uncles. So got a chance to talk to him and asked if they, you know, wanted to do it, and they said, yeah, absolutely. And so he said, let me check with my wife and see when we could do it. So we recorded it yesterday afternoon, and all I'll tell you is that it's parents talking about their son, who they're extremely proud of, and he got involved in film after he came home. His second deployment was to Afghanistan. And so you'll hear that interview in about 53 minutes or so, in about an hour. So,
you're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Spent 7 minutes talking to myself, doing some of the greatest radio you've ever heard in your life, with nobody to share it with, because the switch was off. Until Ohio Man sent me an email and said, for your information, I got nothing. So I will endeavor to recreate it. Unbelievable. Hey. Good Tuesday morning to you. Mike McMahon for a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. Thanks for joining us, wherever you may be, and thanks for making All Marine Radio part of what you do. The show today is going to be a really interesting show, and I say that given all the other interesting shows that that we do simply doesn't have, not that I'm particularly interesting, although I think I am. If you ask me, do you think you're interesting, I would say yes, I do. That aside, just got an intel update from one of my operatives driving down I-5. Yo, just saw Napa Man driving slow. Why is he driving so slow? Ask him. I don't know. He's an older guy, man. He drives slow. Older people drive slow. I mean, I don't, but some older people do. So, he's from Napa too. It's not the trendiest place you've ever been in your life. It's a pretty sedated liberal community built on wine tasting. So why Napa Man is driving so slow? Ah, shit. I Oh, man. I'm going to be bummed out if I lost that audio. No, I set up, I saw a pretty interesting little interview a few minutes ago on Fox, and Bill Hemmer was interviewing a guy talking about Iran, and they were talking about, do you think the United States will be able to get Iran to come back and negotiate? And pretty interesting. He said, the United States is publicly stating we're not looking for regime change, but simply a change in the regime's foreign policy. He goes on to say, and I hopefully I can find the audio again, but I'm not sure I'll be able to. He goes on to say that, look, what we're asking Iran to do is stop executing their national strategic strategy. That's what we're asking them to do. Will they do that? Probably not. So anyway, I hopefully didn't lose that audio. We shall see shortly. What's going to make the show great today? Well, I had a chance yesterday to sit down. A friend of mine that I went to high school with, actually before I went to high school, I knew him. His name's Chris Gandy. We played baseball together as kids, went to high school together. And then he signed, I think, to play baseball for the Dodgers, and played in their minor league system. We're both from Sacramento, California. He went to St. Anne's, I went to St. Charles, and Chris was one of the best athletes in town when he was a senior in high school. He was, he's probably 6'3", 6'4", could run, could throw, could hit, football player, he did it all. Basketball player. So anyway, he sent me a text message. He goes, hey man, my brother Clarence told me you do a radio show. Some friends of mine lost their son to PTSD related suicide. They're having a celebration of his life at a theater in Sacramento, my hometown. Would you mind having him on and maybe help them publicize it? I said, absolutely I would. So he gave me their number. I called Carlos and Juanita Lopez yesterday and asked, you know, would they want to do it and could they do it? And they said, sure. So yesterday afternoon late, we recorded an interview. And I will tell you, don't miss it. I'll play it in about 51 minutes, all right? It'll start right about 8:05. And it's an awesome interview done with devoted parents who watch their son watch their son try to deal with the after effects of war. Now, you've heard the Gunner and I talk about one of the things that pisses us off about the VA is that we as older guys who've dealt with bureaucracies and things like that, we're not afraid to say, hey, screw off, I'm not doing that. And so, but we've spoken about this before, but what happens to a Lance Corporal who gets out of the Marine Corps at the age of 22 or 23, and he goes to the VA, and they tell him some bullshit, you know, and you're being told this by a 50 or 60-year-old person. So you just roll your eyes and get frustrated and walk out? I'd say that's what most do. I had a Marine, kid's a war hero, right? Saves 30 people in Ramadi in 2005 from North Dakota. So he tells the story. Now, again, remember, they're young guys. They know they have issues. They're trying to get help. They go to the VA, and so he goes to the VA. He finally gets to see a therapist, and he said, after my fourth trip to see a therapist, and I had seen four different therapists in four different trips, I stopped going. I threw their bag of drugs away, and I simply stopped going. You hear these stories, and they're heartbreaking, right? You hear Carlos Lopez Jr. story, you know, and it's heart-crushing, okay? And you'll hear his mom talk about opening a letter that said he had an appointment on Tuesday after he took his own life. So they're a great family from Sacramento. In fact, our lives, I mentioned domestic violence. Their daughter worked at an organization called WEAVE, Women Escaping a Violent Environment, that's in Sacramento. After my nephews were killed, we raised money, because it was a national story, essentially, and because my dad was managing the Angels, so ESPN blew the story up, right? So with all that attention, it's like, well, if we set up a fund, we can give out a link and maybe people will get money. Well, I think we raised close to $90,000. She was working for that organization at the time. So anyway, so I think she's working that. She worked at that organization. I'm not exactly sure if she worked there at that date, although her mom sounded like she did. But anyway. So, and then their youngest son is a Marine, Rocky Lopez. So, come on, that's a cool name, Rocky. Yeah, as long as he's a tough kid, it's not a cool name if you're not a tough kid. But obviously, Rocky being a leatherneck, it's a tough guy name. Anyway, we do the interview, and you'll hear, first of all, they're incredibly proud of Carlos Jr. He made a movie, PTSD, An American Tragedy. I'll play a part of it before I play the interview. And it's intense. Okay? It's intense. And so, when you hear it, it's almost like if you've ever been in a therapy session, it's almost like a therapy session you sat through or been in. Because when you hear it, you'll hear it. He's not acting. He's reciting something that he's done. And so so you'll hear from them, a parent's perspective. And again, they also give advice as parents. What would you tell people? And you'll hear their frustration with the VA, how it failed their son. So you'll hear that today. We'll talk about the news. So again, don't touch your dial. The United States. Yeah, I want to talk about Iran a little bit today. Here in a few minutes, and then I want to talk about some events in Afghanistan and check the news headlines, blah, blah, blah. So, with all that said, good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. This is dedicated to the Lopez family, a patriotic, great American family who this Saturday will celebrate the life of their 35-year-old son and Carlos Jr. And just know that you're in our thoughts and in our prayers. And as they celebrate in a manner that he would love the life of their son, a veteran of the United States Army, just dedicated to him, them, and what they'll do this Saturday.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time. Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make a jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Can you imagine, were you a Vietnam veteran and you came home and they told you to take your uniform off and don't talk about it and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Check the weather around Marineland across the globe. Yes, it's kind of like a takeoff of Wide World of Sports years ago, when that used to be what we used to watch. Yeah, on Saturday, Wide World of Sports. Come on. Currently, mostly sunny and 77 at Quantico, sunny and 81 at Camp Lejeune with a weather warning, cloudy and 76 in Granbury, Texas. They've cooled off after some pretty serious rain. In Big Timber, Montana, they've cooled off, sunny and 57. 29 Palms, sunny and 80 degrees. Camp Pendleton, below 70. So they've cooled off. Everybody cooled off. Partly cloudy and 68 at Camp Pendleton. Okinawa, dark cloudy and 83. They've had some weather there. Afghanistan has warmed up in fighting as well as air temperature. Currently, in the south central part of Afghanistan, where Marines are, It is 100 degrees under sunny skies at the home of All Marine Radio, Costa Mesa, California. Partly sunny, 68 degrees, headed for 81 today, 81 tomorrow, and 81 on Thursday, all with sunny skies. So, that is a look at your weather. We'll come back. Will we come back? Hold on, what time is it? No, I lost 7 minutes. We're not coming back. So, yeah, we're not coming back. We're staying here. That's right. I want to see if, bear with me as I mess with some audio here. I adjusted a setting because something was too loud. So, this is the audio about Iran that I thought was pretty interesting.
The National Defense Authorization Act is the most significant investment in...
Okay, so we're going to talk about, in the news, we'll talk about the defense spending legislation that was signed by the president yesterday at Fort Dix. And so this is him yesterday. And then it's Bill Hemmer, Fox News morning guy. It's him interviewing a guy, and I don't even know the guy's name, but he's a smart guy, and he does really good analysis. I will tell you that. So, without further ado, a little extract from Fox News.
Our military and our warfighters in modern history. No enemy on earth can match the strength, courage, and skill of the American Army.
Who?
And the American Armed Forces. Nobody's even close. They never will be. We're standing up for our military, and we're standing up for our great American flag. We're standing for our flag.
That's the president, Fort Drum, New York, late yesterday, touting his
memo to the NFL right there.
Progress in strengthening the military after signing a $717 billion defense bill. Daniel Hoffman, former CIA station chief, Fox News contributor in Boston today. Daniel, how you doing? And welcome back here. A couple of bullet points on the bill. Large increase in funding for nuclear weapons, missile defense programs, additional funding for more ships, planes, and armored vehicles, provisions targeting Russia and China and the fight against ISIS and the war on terror. You go ahead and summarize it. It's a lot of money. How does it make us better?
Well, this harkens back to President Reagan's strategy of peace through strength. We had some catching up to do after the Obama years, just as Reagan...
You heard that right. So I'm listening. I hear that. I'm like, ooh, this guy's a smart guy. He's talking peace through strength. Speaking old Max language. Oh, and what do we know? Throughout history, when do you fight? Not so much. When people know that if they do it, right, you are going to smash them. Okay, so that's when you don't. So you can say, well, we should spend less on defense. Yeah, as long as you're prepared to kick in more American lives. Are you okay with that? Otherwise, shut it and spend the money.
Did after the Carter years when our defense was languishing. And really what the president recognizes, I think, is that we face a myriad of threats from state and from non-state actors, Russia, China, with their efforts to exert their influence in the South China Sea, North Korea, Iran, the battle against terrorists throughout the world. So there's a lot for our military to do. And the president is, I think, absolutely right to upgrade our capabilities and bring us into the 21st century. Now, there's some challenges there for the budget. That's a lot of money to spend. Only the Veterans Affairs and Department of Homeland Security saw their budgets increase. All the other departments were decreased. That's just a decision the administration has to make about how to deal with the national security challenges we face.
Let's talk about one of those threats being Iran. There was some news from overnight where the Ayatollah put out a message to his own people saying there will be no war, suggesting that the problems that affect Iran are internal. What's going on there?
Yeah, he's got a very delicate balancing act right now because the Iranian currency and their economy writ large is in free fall. And he's criticized, Ayatollah Khomeini has criticized his own president, Rouhani, for mismanaging the economy, so he's trying to deflect the blame a little bit there. Certainly isn't interested in negotiating with the United States. He wants to portray us as Iran's enemy, and Iran essentially is a besieged fortress, even though Iran is the aggressor in the Middle East. I think that was part of the reason behind the recent test of the Fatah missile, the short-range ballistic missile, in the Strait of Hormuz during the IRGC military exercise. That was a message to the United States and our Sunni allies in the region that Iran can counter any attack by its enemies. It was also a message to the Europeans, with whom the Iranians are hoping to negotiate some sort of a deal to enable them to retain some economic growth in spite of our decision to step away from JCPOA. Iran is negotiating with Russia and Europe over that.
On the Iran nuclear deal. Here is the specific tweet. There will be no war, nor will we negotiate with the U.S. You sure about that? Jack Keane thinks...
In my opinion, this is the really interesting part of what he says. Although, I will tell you this, I'm becoming fond, after listening at the Aspen Security Forum, listening to the station chief there that I'd never seen, active duty station chief from the CIA appear in public and talk about that kind of stuff. I'm sure they do it. I'd never been on my radar. It will be, though. But listen to what he says now when Hemmer asks him the question, are you sure there's not going to be negotiations?
At some point soon, they're going to come back to the table. You think they will?
It's certainly possible. But keep in mind, Secretary Pompeo has announced our strategy very clearly. Iran must halt nuclear enrichment, halt the development of nuclear ballistic missiles, withdraw their forces from Syria, and stop aiding proxy militias and militant groups like Hezbollah. We're calling for change in regime behavior, not regime change, but I don't see how this Iranian regime can do what we're asking them to do to get back to the table. I think what we're asking them to do would be an anathema to their national security strategy, and I think that's where the rubber's going to meet the road, frankly. Let's see how the Iranian economy continues to struggle and whether protests develop. Iran is extraordinarily concerned about the potential for a populist uprising of the sort we saw in the Middle East during the Arab Spring and what we've seen in Iran with the Green Movement.
Thank you, Daniel. Daniel Hoffman, always good to get your reaction.
Dan Hoffman, how about that? We interviewed Dan Hoffman. He's a Marine lieutenant on Koh Tang Island. A different Dan Hoffman, though. How about that, though? Pretty insightful. I like CIA guys. Smart ones. So I got to find Dan Hoffman now, and I got to track him down. And maybe we'll see if we can get him on All Marine Radio, or maybe he does his own analysis, and we'll go ahead and get some of that, some more of that. But interesting stuff. Really, to me, what he's doing is he's distancing himself, not Hoffman, but the Ayatollah. He's distancing himself from the regime. So if the revolution comes, if the people take to the street, he can say, hey, that wasn't me, man, you heard me. So, and again, throwing a little bit more charcoal into the lap as Iran wrestles with internal demons as they go forward. So, interesting little discussion about Iran. And I thought his point about, hey, what the United States is asking Iran to do means it stops executing its national strategy. Yeah, most nations aren't so much interested in that. However, when the franchise is at risk, you'll entertain just about anything, okay, to remain in power. So I thought that was interesting, and I thought I would share that with you. The other thing in the news is a couple stories about Afghanistan that I wanted to talk about. headline. Taliban captured northern base as Afghan forces fight in Ghazni. All right, so out of Ghazni, and if you pay attention to news like this, been in the news since late last week, serious fighting going on around there, in which the Taliban kind of balled up, right, and looking to show their strength. Taliban fighters overran an army base in northern Afghanistan, officials said on Tuesday, August 14th, that was earlier today, killing at least 17 soldiers with dozens feared captured in a stinging blow to security forces already struggling to push insurgents from eastern Ghazni. The fall of the base in the Gormak district of the volatile Faryab province came with security forces who have struggled to hold back the Taliban since NATO combat troops pulled out in 2014, already stretched by days of fighting in Ghazni, a strategic provincial capital 2 hours from Kabul. Militants gained control of the base after days of heavy fighting, according to the army. He said around 100 soldiers were on the base when it was first attacked on Sunday. It is a tragedy that the base fell to the enemy. Some soldiers were killed, some captured, some fled into the nearby hills. At least 17 were killed in the attack, according to the Defense Ministry. Preparations are underway to launch an operation to recapture the base. The Tahir Rahmani, the head of Farab's provincial council, said the base fell after the soldiers begged for reinforcements and air support from Kabul, but were ultimately ignored. They were too busy with Ghazni, he said. A spokesman for U.S. forces in Afghanistan, Lieutenant Colonel Martin O'Donnell, said there had been, quote, no reported enemy activity so far on Tuesday, though he added that some Taliban forces remain in the city. The story goes on. The Taliban, who falsely and repeatedly claim that they do not target civilians, have executed innocents, destroyed homes, burned a market, and created the conditions for a potential humanitarian crisis, O'Donnell said. O'Donnell also said that no airstrikes had been carried out on Tuesday. So anyway, so that, and then, this is in the Washington Times. Taliban blindsides U.S. forces with surprise offense in Afghanistan. The Taliban is on the verge of a dramatic victory, expanding its control over southern and eastern Afghanistan in a surprise offensive that has caught Afghan and U.S. security forces off guard and thrown a vexing new wrench in the Trump administration's strategy for ending the nearly 17-year-old war. Afghan defense officials said on Monday a Taliban assault on the city of Ghazni has killed roughly 100 Afghan security forces and some 20 civilians in the past 3 days. While Afghan forces backed by U.S. and NATO advisors claimed Monday night to have retained control of central Ghazni, local reports indicate Taliban fighters still held pockets of the city and had simultaneously swept in and taken over most of the surrounding province's rural areas. The surge in violence in Ghazni over the past several days has also sparked fresh and heated debates over how much territory the Afghan government actually controls. Typical quote you would hear, the government is in complete control of Ghazni, Afghan Interior Minister Weiss Ahmad Barak told the BBC on Monday. Other officials said a smattering of Americans as well as forces tied to the Afghan government's intelligence directorate were on the ground in Ghazni to assist local security forces against the Taliban. Quote, U.S. advisors are assisting Afghan forces, and American air power has delivered decisive blows to the Taliban, killing over 140. You know, what's interesting is that when you see these things, they are great opportunities to kill bad guys. And they'll do this for either negotiating purposes, public relations period purposes, or they go on the offensive. I'm not exactly sure if they think they can win. I'm sure they convince their fighters that they think they can win. You know, it's kind of like out of Vietnam when you see North Vietnamese soldiers talk about what it's like to fight against the Americans. You have to stay very close to them so they don't annihilate you. And then when there is a little bit of space between you and they have the opportunity to bring in air and supporting arms, your life becomes a living hell. So these events, you know, they get great press, and the press tends to overreact to them. At the end of the day, they wind up being great opportunities to kill bad guys. Please go on the offensive, and we'll annihilate you. Yeah, we may lose a base. But in the long run, you will not replace any of those fighters anytime soon. So anyway, so it's pretty interesting. We'll talk more about Afghanistan here in a minute as we go through the as we go through news headlines of the day. We'll check out marine headlines, and that's where we'll start. New Marine Awards push for superior fitness. All right. We have the Marine Corps has an MOS now for fitness instructors. In the spirit of competition, the Corps is looking at new avenues like awards to push Marines to better their fitness. Two such awards are certificates of commendation or CertComs for Marines with dual 300 physical fitness test and combat fitness test scores in the same calendar year, and a trophy for the most fit battalion in the Marine Corps. So Colonel Stephen Arms, who's the Marine Corps' Force Fitness Division Director, told Marine Corps Times that in an interview. So finding ways to get the PFT to be even cooler. Interesting. There's been a couple of recent stories that you've seen, and one of them involves the DoD inviting hackers to kind of conventions to hack the DoD. The Defense Department kicked off its sixth bug bounty program on the 12th of August with Hack the Marine Corps, a challenge focusing on the Corps' public-facing websites and services. Hack the Marine Corps allows us to leverage the talents of global ethical hacker communities to take an honest, hard look at our current cybersecurity posture, said Major General Matthew Glavy, head of U.S. Marine Corps Forces Cyberspace Command, in a news conference. Yeah, Cyberspace Command. Do they have their own, like, Spock-like salute? Whatever. Quote, our Marines need to operate against the best. What we learn from this program will assist the Marine Corps in improving our warfighting platforms, the Marine Corps Enterprise Network. Working with ethical hackers provides us with a large return on that investment to identify and mitigate current critical vulnerabilities, reduce attack, that's a tactical term, right? That's a warfighting tactical term. Reduce attack surfaces and minimize future vulnerabilities. It will make us more combat ready. This is the second version of it. The DoD launched its first bug bounty program called Hack the Pentagon in May of 2016. Since then, the DoD has held bug bounties for the Army, the Air Force, and the Defense Travel System. The combined programs resulted in over 600 resolved vulnerabilities, with approximately $500,000 awarded to the ethical hackers participating in the program. Yeah, you know, that $500,000, you would think that's pennies compared to the damage that could be done. So, interesting. Hack the Marine Corps was launched with Hacker One, which partners with hacker communities to help businesses and government conduct bug bounties, and kicked off with a live hacking event coinciding with the Black Hat USA DEF CON and B-Sides conference that is going on in Las Vegas. The live hack resulted in 75 unique vulnerability reports and more than $80,000 in rewards. How about that? If you're a hacker, you can get paid for it. Does that pay more than doing illegal stuff? Probably not. But God bless them for doing it. So anyway, so interesting little story. And I read a couple of them, a couple of headlines, I think yesterday, from what's called Black Hat. Maybe it was Friday. I haven't done anything with this story, but I want to at least kind of get into it, and I'll get somebody to come on and talk about this. I saw this headline and it's like, what? Marine Aviation Squadron Commanders Inaccurately Reported Readiness Aircraft Counts According to the DoD IG. Okay, now that's pretty basic stuff. How do we screw that up? Okay? They did what? So anyway, a recent audit found that most Marine Corps Aviation Squadron commanders reviewed by investigators were not accurately reporting their unit's aircraft readiness. Why? Providing inconsistent and unreliable data in their reporting, and Marine aviation officials at higher levels failed to provide clear guidance or oversight on readiness. Investigators with the DOD IG reviewed 10 FA-18 and CH-53 Echo squadrons within 2nd Marine Air Wing at the Marine Corps Air Station in Cherry Point and the 3rd Marine Air Wing at Marine Corps Air Station Miramar, California. The main driver of the misreporting seems to have been an unclear order that outlined when and what and how commanders were to create and submit readiness reports. Also, the lack of proper guidance and oversight by higher-level commanders may have exacerbated the problem. Among the IG's findings, 9 squadron commanders did not report the present state of their aircraft readiness. What? 9 squadron commanders were inconsistent in using time frames to report aircraft readiness. How can that many be screwing it up? 5 squadron commanders overstated the number of mission-capable aircraft according to mission essential tasks needed. 4 squadron commanders did not accurately provide their aviation readiness in the reporting system. As a result, the Marine Corps officials do not have an accurate assessment of what their aircraft capabilities currently are. Investigators found the following aircraft quantity overstatements by these squadrons during. So when you're reporting more aircraft that can go than can, that's a problem. Even I know that, and I'm a grunt. When you're reporting things that are down, that are actually up, that's a problem. Heavy helicopter squadron, 361 out of Miramar, overstated by 2 the number of ready aircraft in December. HMH 461 out of New River, overstated by 1 in December. HMH 464, also in New River, overstated by 3 in December, 2 in January, 3 in February. Okay, so that trend, that ain't right. Marine Fighter Attack Squadron, 314 at Miramar, overstated by 1 in February. VMFA 224 at Buford, overstated by 1 in January. So I guess once you get the footnotes out, the question is, what is the reason for the trend? So anyway, I'll get one of my aviation bros and we'll drag their ass on and drag them through the street trying to find out why can't they get their shit together. This goes along with the previous discussion about Afghanistan. Over the weekend, less than 100 miles from Afghanistan's capital of Kabul, Taliban forces launched a major assault that overwhelmed the strategically important city of Ghazni and allegedly captured portions of it. The battle in eastern Afghanistan was still going on late Monday when U.S. Air Force and elements of the 101st Airborne Division were called in to support Afghan government's troops. Ghazni City remains under Afghan government control, and the isolated and disparate Taliban forces remaining in the city do not pose a threat to its collapse, as some have claimed, according to Lieutenant Colonel Martin O'Donnell, who we heard about in the other story. American troops operating under U.S. forces Afghanistan have been advising Afghan National Defense Security Forces in the area. U.S. advisors are assisting the Afghan forces. U.S. air power has delivered decisive blows, killing more than 140 since Friday. In addition to the initial strikes and close air support on Friday, U.S. forces conducted 5 strikes on Saturday, 16 strikes on Sunday, and as of yesterday, 2 as of when the interview was conducted. So anyway, but it's interesting what's coming out of this. Okay, there's a publication called the Long War Journal, and it does pretty, you know, it does respectable reporting. Okay, talking about the Afghan commandos in the region, in the Ghazni area, were routed, right, as they defended Ghazni. Quote, this is from the Long War Journal. The fact that such an elite unit was overrun and took a high rate of casualties may be an indication that the commandos and special forces may be overworked and are losing their effectiveness. These units run at a high operational pace and have taken significant casualties as of late. So right now where we're at is initial Taliban blow-up, video hits the internet, information sketchy, who do you believe, U.S. forces reacting to that, kind of fire brigade style, so film at 11. So we'll continue to pay attention, but the 181st, yikes, the 101st Airborne Division has been called in to support the defense of Grozny, so certainly not a good story when that happens. The top five stories in Early Bird, and I would encourage you, don't touch that dial, coming up at the top of the hour, actually right at about 8:05, is an interview I did with yesterday with Carlos and Juanita Lopez, they of Sacramento, California, Elk Grove, California area, and they're the parents of Carlos Lopez Jr. He a filmmaker and a U.S. Army veteran of both Iraq and Afghanistan. He lost his fight with PTSD and took his own life on, I believe it was Sunday, June 24th. He had appointments that he had been trying to schedule for a year with the VA, and you'll hear them talk about their son. They're celebrating his life this Saturday in Sacramento, California, by showing a film that he made. The film's entitled PTSD, An American Tragedy. I'll play a little bit of it here in a little bit. And when you hear the audio, you'll see he's not acting in the audio. He's not acting very much in the audio. So anyway, so don't touch that dial. We'll check some more news headlines here as we head towards the top of the hour, and then you'll hear a pretty amazing interview with incredible parents who will celebrate the life of their son. They're going to show his movie. Okay, they're going to show his movie as you know, that they want to celebrate his life in a way that he would be happy with, and so they're doing that. So on Saturday the 18th in Sacramento, California, if you're in the area, at 11:30 at the Crest Theater, which is in downtown Sacramento on K Street, they will begin the celebration of his life. The film will show at 12:15, and it's a film that he made, called PTSD, An American Tragedy. So, anyway, don't touch the dial. They're coming up here in about 11 minutes. All right. Top five stories today in the Early Bird are: 1. Space Force and midterm show stage at Trump as Trump signs the Pentagon policy bill. Yeah, Space Force much in the news. We'll see what happens as they lay down a plan for it. So anyway, next story. One year in, Pentagon pins hopes on Trump Afghanistan strategy on a Taliban change of heart. You know, I would say this. How would I say it? Given the nature of the insurgency, right? How do you settle an insurgency? By wiping it out? I mean, I think historically you'll find that that's never been the case. what you try to do is you have to fight the insurgency, obviously, and then you have to encourage some kind of political reconciliation. So when people say that this new strategy, what was the old strategy? Absolute victory. I think people that don't study the military and don't know military history and a lot of political history say stuff like that. Okay, and so if you understand, I think Tim Lynch has been on talking about the different what is the quote Taliban. Do they operate out of one office? No, they don't. So what is it? It's a mosaic. It's people that are Afghans, and then there's people outside the country who, Big T as they're known, right, with big money and long arms and whatnot, that support it. So, I mean, the American strategy for years has been to split those, to make it so expensive to wage the war in terms of physical life that you look for a political solution. And in some way, shape, or form, you come to the middle on that, and you come up with something. So, again, I don't – this whole change of heart, I don't know if somebody thought that we were going to physically defeat the Taliban and then, hold a parade. I just don't – if you think that, that's not how insurgencies tend to work. A couple more stories. I first heard this name. Don't hate me for it, but I did. Third story is U.S. Air Force and the Army's 101st Airborne Division called to help defend Ghazni. So that in the news. Number four, we've already talked about it. The very few, the proud, 100 years of women in the Marine Corps. Oprah Mae Johnson, first woman to enlist in the Marine Corps 100 years ago. So women in the Marine Corps, much in the news, or at least in the news today. Trump blocks fighter jet transfer amid deepening U.S.-Turkey rift. I think the president is starting to feel pretty confident in wielding U.S. economic power as a tool. For instance, Turkey is holding on to an American citizen and won't let him go. Really? Like, come on. Like, what is that? So they're playing stupid games, and I guess I don't get it. But it seems like the president is more and more at ease with using the tools of the economic tools at his disposal to influence, right, foreign affairs. It's interesting that when used against the Russians and the Turks, the things we can do economically, they're considered acts of war. But then the Russians can do what they do in the United States, and that's not an act of war. You interfere with our election, that's not an act of war. So again, what do we know about the Russians? If their lips are moving, they're very good. Lying, okay? Because that's what they are. And the Turks are no different. Another dictatorship moving that country towards Islamic fundamentalism, out of the orbit of NATO. Let me just tell you, go that orbit and see where that lands you. The fire that has engulfed the rest of those nations that have embraced that still hasn't gone out. So if you're living in Turkey listening, better hope they don't do that. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, you're going to hear an interview I did with Carlos Lopez Sr. and his wife, Juanita. So whatever you do, do not touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on a Tuesday edition right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
all you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you. And we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.